Well, it actually kind of makes it a little bit easier in some ways. We definitely do rely on that to make the shows cooler. Like, we did a rehearsal last night without our trumpet player, and we're just, like, going over some material and just kind of, like, tightening some of the other stuff up and trying some new stuff out. And, like, not having the trumpet player there, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, I could play another solo here. But it's like, also, if it was just the trumpet player, it'd be so much easier. It's like, you know, like, just sit back, let them do all the work. So that's definitely one aspect of the preparing, is more just focusing on making sure we kind of know if there are changes in the songs and stuff that we can really hit them together and keep the illusion of us being super organized as tight as possible. Yeah, that's mostly the preparing. We just need to get together and kind of just play. A lot of the people in the band, fortunately, playing's not hard for them. So it makes it definitely easy in that respect. You just kind of put the music in front of them and it kind of just happens. So it's actually not that interesting in sort of a way. Like, it's really cool. It's just, it's not as much of a struggle as you'd kind of almost maybe expect a rehearsal to be in some way. It's mostly just hanging out, really. Yeah, I guess that's basically the answer to that question.
I had a mentor once tell me that when he does rehearsals, it's only intros and outros.
Yeah, that's honestly.
Only intros and outros. Like, it's like, we're going to do the first four and the last eight. And that's it. Everybody learns everything at home.
Maybe double check the C set, like the bridge, if you guys are hitting it right or something. But, like, yeah, honestly, that's good advice. Yeah.
I feel like I waste so much rehearsal time with the hanging out portion. It's like, we only have like this much music to rehearse for. Maybe we only need an hour, but I need to account for the hanging out time.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're doing like an hourly space.
Oh, especially. There's also a lot of our rehearsal time we'll get dealt with dealing with just the logistics of traveling. It's like, it's so many things. Always just be like, okay, where's accommodations and what car are we bringing? And this one is backline, this one doesn't. It's between the hanging out and actually having to like, oh yeah, we just hung out for an hour. We actually have to talk about something important. Yeah, rehearsal has less playing than you'd probably want.
All the glories of a working musician. Rock star life is truly logistics.
Yeah.
All that it is. Because it is just so hard, like, being an adult and texting people to nail them down for, like, a rehearsal or whatever. Do you have on the note of, like, logistics and touring, I love asking people this. Do you have a good tour story, a little funny tour story that is PG enough to air on radio at 10 a.m.?
There's a lot of stories that aren't, that's for sure.
PG, that's for sure.
It would be a good one to go. I got one I could probably try to go through quick. We were touring across Canada a couple years ago. It was like pretty big tour. It was about a month long. And we had an RV that we went on tour with, and I brought my bike on tour. Like, I had a couple bikes, and we just put them on the back of the RV because we were camping and whatnot. We were playing in Saskatoon, and my bike got stolen off the back of the RV, like, during the show. So I was, like, super bummed, right? Like, so I'm, like, on Marketplace, like, as we're going through the tour. This is only, like, 4 days into tour or something like that. Like, it's, like, the first week. Maybe not 4 days. Maybe, like, the first week or something. And so this is, like, 2 weeks left, 3 weeks left driving around this RV. And I was, like, I'm going to find another bike. So every time we go into, like a town, I'm, like, on Marketplace, like, looking for sick BMXs. Like, oh, I want a sick bike. We finally find one in Toronto, and the only opportunity I can get it is like 20 minutes before we play, like on the other side of town. And like, so me and the bass player at the time, we like, we're committed though, because it's like a sick deal and we really want this bike. So we get in the cab and we just start ripping across like the city, like as fast as we can to get to this bike. And on our way there, we end up like getting stuck in this massive like pride parade, and we couldn't get through it, right? And as we're like there, or no, we got in the cab and there was a phone in the cab, and we're trying to figure out whose phone it was. So Carson's like on like trying to figure it out, and people keep calling the phone, and he keeps trying to answer the phone to like figure out what's going on, right? And we end up going to the bike place. I end up buying the bike, and we got like so little time to get back to the gig. Like, we're literally about to go on stage, and we're like ripping back, and Carson finally gets a hold of the person whose phone it is, and they're at the Pride Parade. So like, Carson's like, yo, we're gonna meet up with you. So like, we don't have time for this. Now we're driving like deep into downtown Toronto. We end up like finding this person in the corner of a street, giving their phone back. They're like, whoa, like partying, and like we're like, we end up getting back there with like literally like 2 minutes. Like we walk in to the back of like the venue straight on the stage. Like there's a little more to the story, but it was like, that was a pretty wild adventure. Like everyone was not stoked we were listening to go do that.
Do you still like, have the bike?
I still have the bike. Yeah, it's actually a really nice bike. It was worth it.
Oh my gosh. It's always stuff like that, cutting it close. Or I can't. That makes me so stressed.
Yup.
Oh my gosh.
This is my only option though. Is like you're on tour, you just have such a little window to do things, and it's like once the gig was over, we're driving out of town. It's like I'm only here for like literally this 1 hour. Like, and
it's like every time I feel like I'm ever traveling or like playing a show or something out of town, that is the one day that there is a parade that I've never heard of happening. I remember like being in Montreal, and I really needed to I was grabbing the Via Rail from Montreal to Toronto, which is not the most efficient way to travel, but it is way nicer than a bus. Oh, yeah. And way slower than a plane. And I played a show the night before, and my bandmates like were talking to me, and they're like, oh, you don't need to get there like 2 hours before. You show there 45 minutes before the train leaves, 15 minutes before the train leaves, you're good. And I'm like, okay. Cut to like I am in an Uber, the only Uber in I think all of Montreal that drove slow and safely. Every time I was in like a cab or an Uber in Montreal, it was just whipping around like it's Fast and the Furious. And I think it was the day of like the St. Patrick's Day parade. I was like, it's always parades and street closures.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, speaking of arts and culture, I was kind of like interested, like I would keep bringing back to like recording and writing, but when you're kind of in between like a busy touring season like you guys have had and approaching like doing some more writing in the winter season, like what do you like find helps ground you or puts you back in that kind of creative place to release or get music ready in the in-between cycles?
For me, it's the desire to play new music.
Yeah. I think that's definitely one. You get bored of playing some of the music. Not bored of it, but you kind of start craving some of the
same. You hit the same set for like the whole summer, and then you're like, gotta get some new stuff in there.
Yeah, and I think for me too, I'm always kind of writing, and it's just kind of the way I kind of play music. Like I used to sort of practiced when I was a kid, but I find it hard not to sit down and just start looking for things and kind of like trying to find things to write. And so by the time those in the next couple months, when we're kind of done the rest of this touring season, it'll be I think a little cathartic almost to go through all of my little notes and kind of actually put it all together. And like there's a lot of ideas that I've been excited about, but it's just way too busy to try to introduce like a new song or that kind of stuff. So for me, definitely, it's like a little pent up writing that I've been not able to kind of actually do almost, So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And we briefly mentioned it before we ended up playing your last tune, but I want to talk about visualizing writing. Like you were talking about synesthesia, but I had a roommate when I was in college, and I was in music school before I went to Cap, and I can't remember how it came up, but there's like a bit of a trick you can, or like an exercise that I've heard be done, where it's like you close your eyes and you try to imagine an apple, like, and you just try to imagine like how clear can you get that image of an apple in your head. And we're sitting down doing this roommate turns to me and she's like, I can't picture anything in my head, like it's absolutely not something
it's like
you can do
or something.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. I find I don't think it's like the opposite of synesthesia, but I've always found it interesting. Like I know so many creative people who are almost like on one end of like everything is very visual and like overwhelming, or the other end where it's like there's nothing in there and I just practice. And they still are an incredible musician, but I always found it interesting. It's like, huh, you can't visualize anything in there, so it's like makes more sense to get things that way. And I was curious from both of you, like kind of there's like a specific way that you approach like is music more visual to you, or and how in ways even just outside of synesthesia, like you explore visual themes or the opposite end of the spectrum. Sorry, that's like a long question.
Do you want to go first?
Well, for me in the music sense, like I'm also like a visual creator in some ways, but in the music sense, I find that it just kind of comes out of me. I don't know. I don't spend too much time trying to like visualize it because I find myself, I'll get a bit stuck in my head and start to overthink things. So I try to actually ignore that part of my brain a little bit and just let it come out. And that usually works pretty well for me.
Yeah. And I think I'm kind of almost a bit the opposite in the sense that like, for me, music's very like story driven and like that, like music in the abstract isn't necessarily that interesting to me, like music as an exercise or, you know, just because of some random chord rule or something isn't necessarily that interesting unless you can kind of tie it to some type of story or emotion or something. So I'm always kind of, I think, in writing looking for those things, like even if it is instrumental, like how can I make this into something that, like, even if someone just read the title, they can already kind of feel an idea of what's going into it. So, like, I really do try to connect the music often, maybe not to something always visual, but like definitely something that kind of tells a bit of a story in a sense.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I feel like maybe I've mentioned it at least once for the people at home that this is an instrumental band. I've always found it like interesting how people who maybe don't listen to any instrumental music at all are very, might be apprehensive to not like having the literal thing, like the literal meaning of a song, like right in front of them. But I think that's such a fun thing that you can explore as a listener of whatever non-lyrical music that exists, whether it be a classical song or a jazz song or a funk song or a fusion, like it just keeps going, right? And sitting down and like, you know, sitting down with somebody and talking about like, oh, like this is how I interpret like a specific like jazz tune, like I can't remember. Like I'm trying to pull a good example right now so I can explain it better to like a listener. But like, yeah, like are there any tunes that you think of that are like great, like instrumental tunes that you really just enjoy that you bring to your creative life?
Like any video game music or film music? Yeah.
Yes. Is there anything specific?
Oof.
Yeah, she's really into a lot of the like kind of like chill hop video game channels where they play like Zelda and stuff and like Final Fantasy.
Yeah. The Persona 5 soundtrack, perfection.
I love that.
Yeah. Wow. I think for me it's like I'm definitely like influenced by jazz music, but we didn't actually go to jazz school. We went to like classical school. I actually listen to mostly like flamenco music and stuff like that. So it's weird, like, where the influences all come from, because they're, I don't know, you don't always play what you listen to, I guess, in a weird way, like, you know, so I think that's always kind of a weird thing. Yeah, so there's plenty of great instrumental music, though, like orchestral music, obviously, and like Chopin, like who's not touched by Chopin? Like,
I love it. The video game music thing is so funny because I think that is a gateway in a way to like people listening to more instrumental music. There's so many like video game band, like big shows now. And I can say like, honestly, the Sonic soundtrack is a good like gym playlist. Cause you know, I gotta go fast.
Yeah.
As a great hedgehog. One set.
The trumpet player we're playing with tonight and tomorrow, his profile picture is him in a Sonic outfit. He plays in a band where he does Sonic covers.
Is he dressed up as Sonic?
Yeah, he dresses as Sonic and does Sonic covers with a jazz band. That's literally his act.
Love it.
I think that like actually might be my dream job.
We can make it happen.
How much blue paint is required?
I think he's got a costume because I feel like...
like a onesie?
Yeah.
You know, that is like this part of the resume, full blue body paint approaching.
Only hiring ex-Blue Men Group.
That'd be good. Like, you know, we were talking about, like, you know, doing the two gigs in a night, you know, first gig, Sonic cover band, and you're already painted blue, so you could run downtown and you could do the Blue Man Group right after. But it's lovely stuff. We're going to play one more tune by you folks. It's called Change It Up by Sour Dope. And stay tuned. We're going to keep on hanging out right here till the end of the hour. I'm Hallie, and this is your super summer programming. Thank you.
the bruised ego.
Hello, everybody. This is Hallelujah here, and you're listening to Super Summer Programming. We're just finishing off our hour, a little lovely interview with live in studio with the lovely folks from Sour Dope. Yay!
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming all the way up. For those of you who are not aware of what the happenings are at SFU right now, there's a whole bunch of traffic issues. There seem to be filming something up here, yeah. But it is sometimes a struggle to get up this mountain, so I'm always appreciative when people make the journey up here.
Nice. Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. And of course, you guys will be driving around. I've mentioned it a couple times on air, but you have two shows. You have Chilliwack Mural Fest and Newest Pride. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're playing the Thunderbird stage tomorrow at Chilliwack Mural Fest at 4 p.m. Come check us out. And then we're boogieing super fast over to New West Pride and playing at 7 p.m. and closing out the celebrations for the evening.
Lovely. I like the usage of boogieing.
Oh yeah.
Booging out.
Like we've never boogied before.
Like one of the smaller tours, I guess, but one of the more stressful drives.
I have over here heading down to Princeton on the 22nd.
That's true.
And
Copper Mountain Music Festival, and then Kelowna at the end of September, September 24th. We're playing Redbird Brewery, opening up for the Free Label, which is
awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And the last one I have on my list is Pass Creek Fall Fair in Castlegar.
That's true. Yeah. That's happening on the 26th of September.
26th, yes.
We might have something on the 25th. We'll see.
Yeah. Ooh, lovely.
Yeah, and then we might try to chill out for a minute.
I think we need to chill out for a second.
We play in another band, and it's doing a full Western Canada tour in the middle of September as well, so that'll be 2 weeks, 11 dates. And then we go camping a week before that. So it's like, it's literally like we're touring and then we go camping, we come back for a day, we're gone for 2 weeks, we come back for like 3 days and we go back. And it's like, oh, I'm in October. I think I'm going to veg out at home for at least a couple days.
All gas, no breaks. And hopefully you'll get to hibernate for a tiny bit.
Just a little.
Camping's relaxing, right?
You're sitting there in the campsite mulling over logistics.
Oh,
yeah. 100% that will be happening.
Yeah, we're going camping with another member from that band, so it's probably just going to be like vocal rehearsals the whole time.
I can't think of a better place to sit down and just do some singing exercises than in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, honestly, it's great.
Probably freaking out some other campgoers in the distance.
Yeah. Or... you know, inviting them to a nice show. Free show.
I think last year we went camping and Kayla brought a bunch of recorders and we were doing a lot of recorder jamming. I'm not sure what the neighbors thought of that, though.
I was like, I might be being annoying.
Three or four days a recorder might be a bit much for some people.
Yeah, as we wrap up, is there any kind of last words or thoughts you would like to leave our listeners here at CJSFFM?
Stay cool.
Stay cool.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
Apologies to everybody affected by the wildfires.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. That does suck, yeah.
That does really suck.
Yeah, stay safe.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody, I'm sorry if you were awoken by the strange weather this morning. There was some thunder.
I was indeed waken up by that.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty well.
Yeah, you slept through it.
Yeah.
Very turbulent climate-based times and fire-based times. We have some exciting things going on with you folks. I'm really excited. I'm really happy that I got to have you in person and on air. And if you guys were listening back and were curious, the tunes that we played today, I'll just let you know. We played Water Temple by Sour Dope. We played Change It Up by Sour Dope, and we played Catalog by Chris Keto. And just to play us out, we have our outro. My name is Hallelujah Hailu. We usually also have Stella, and the first half of this interview or of the show was with Hot Mother Truckers about local events in the city. You can catch us next Friday again at our regular slot, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And we only have a couple more of our super summer programmings left. So thank you so much. Have a great morning, I guess, or if you're listening this back, afternoon. And I'm Hallelujah Hailu. Thank you.
Nice.
Thanks for tuning in to our super summer programming.
Catch us next Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
And until then, stay super chill.